Hello and welcome to Stripped. My name is Isabel Lord and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Emma Francois.
Hello.
Emma, what are we going to be talking about today?
So today we're talking about a Stripped favorite topic of conversation, power dressing.
Oh yeah.
Particularly in light of the record-breaking number of women who were recently voted into Congress.
Yeah, so basically the New York Times published a series of portraits that we've been talking a lot about. It's called, the article itself, the collection itself, is called Redefining Representation, the Women of the 116th Congress. And basically, well, we stumbled across this article and I was like, this would be so cool. Like, we should talk about this in Stripped. And then we started really talking about it and we were like, should we talk about this in Stripped?
Yeah, because it's so appealing when you see these photographs and they hold together in this beautiful collection, yet each one is unique. They're wearing different styles of outfits, different poses. But then we started talking about the ethics really of focusing on dress for people in power.
Yeah, there's this line in some of the text that accompanies the portraits that says, you know, when seen as singular portraits, each image represents an individual with her own perspective. But when they're viewed together, they demonstrate the scale of the number of women in both the House and the Senate. And I think that that kind of is a testament to what you're saying is, you know, like when we were looking at this, we were like, wow, like this is so incredible. Just like scrolling through all of these images of powerful women. And we're like, you know, this is what power in 2019 looks like. And then, of course, you know, we're drawn to each individual face, each individual outfit. And we kind of wanted to dissect that, but at the same time, we don't want to detract from, you know, we don't want to turn the focus away from this woman and her politics, especially given that we don't really know the politics of all of the women.
And it's also interesting because these aren't just photos like captured on the street. Mm-hmm. These are highly calculated, really choreographed portraits. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole, you know, study of the art of portraiture relating to, you know, the history of photography, art. But also I should add that we're not the only ones thinking about this. And something that was really influential in our thinking was Vanessa Friedman's recent New York Times article called Why Covering Nancy Pelosi's Hot Pink Dress Isn't Sexist, which we'll bring in as we're talking about this. But you had some really interesting points because you saw these photos, I think, before reading the article, whereas I read the article first and then saw the photos. Mm-hmm. And so you noticed some really interesting things about jewelry.
Yeah, I was scrolling through and I was, you know, kind of trying to generalize each of the individuals, the individual outfits that I was seeing in each of these portraits. And I was noticing that I was becoming increasingly drawn to the jewelry that each woman was wearing. I was kind of clicking through and curious to see who was, you know, showing their wedding ring. Because, you know, some women have their hand, you know, propping up their head or framing their face somehow, or just, you know, like kind of their hands clasped in their laps. Because, you know, also these are highly choreographed, like Emma said, the positioning is something that's really thought out. And so to me, it was interesting, you know, like what each woman kind of wanted to highlight, whether or not it was conscious or subconscious, as far as the ring placement goes, I don't know. But the fact that they could be aligning themselves as married with a marriage partner is interesting psychologically, presenting themselves both as these individuals who are very powerful, but they're also a part of a team, maybe. Mm-hmm. There's one woman, Kim Schreer, from Washington, who is with her son in one of the pictures. And so as I was scrolling through, it was, you know, kind of interesting, the little accents. Another thing that really intrigued me about jewelry was the kind of the cost factor. And, you know, women are stereotyped as maybe being bigger spenders or, you know, shopaholics a lot of the time or historically. And so it's interesting choosing these accents. Not a lot of them are, I would say, flashy or necessarily bejeweled, or, you know, I don't look at all of them and ask myself how expensive they would be. Mm. But yeah, it was something that was on my mind as I was scrolling through.
It's really hard to present yourself as, you know, like a public servant in a way that is, you know, as like dynamic and as like powerful and intricate as you are, which is true for, you know, anyone. But should we talk a little bit about the article before we talk more about the
Sure.
portraits?
Yeah.
So basically, the article was written in response to another article about Nancy Pelosi's swearing in. And she wore, you know, a hot pink dress. I don't know if I would have called it hot pink, but it has been widely accepted to be hot pink. And as with everything, you know, they talked about what she said and what she wore, but the New York Times Twitter pulled out what she wore as, you know, like the blurb that goes on social media. So part of the problem and what sparked this debate was the fact that the clothing was taken out of context. And so Vanessa Friedman kind of writes this article talking about why she writes about what she writes. Mm-hmm. And she says that every part of a politician's presentation is highly calculated, and it's trying to tell you something or show you something or redirect your thoughts somewhere. That it's every decision is like something that they're in control of and something that they've discussed with, you know, maybe a team of political advisors. And she says that it's the same for everyone in power. Mm-hmm. And she has like really funny anecdotes about politicians spending hours agonizing over like which shade of blue their tie should be or what have you. And so she says that her coverage is not sexist because she writes about men and women is what she says. But maybe like the articles about the females in power get more attention. So not all of the readers and people who saw this tweet would know that. So she's definitely on the defensive, but she raises a lot of points that you summarized really well when we were talking about this, about how like people can discredit clothing as a tool.
Yeah, it was interesting, you know, what Vanessa Friedman was saying was basically how, like you were saying, like it, all of these style choices are very calculated. And so she was saying how by her writing about them, it's almost like paying homage to the thought process behind them. By talking about the clothing that people are wearing, it could be another way of talking about their own political ambitions or their own the message that they may want to get across without needing to say it, which is mm-hmm. a testament to the power of clothing, I think.
Yeah.
In Nancy Pelosi's case, Vanessa Friedman was talking about how, you know, the choice of pink was really interesting because it is so feminine and now it's being associated with a seat of power. Mm-hmm. And if that was what Nancy Pelosi was intending to convey, you know, that's something that's worth unpacking. And so regarding the portraits that the Times compiled, you know, there's a part of me that does want to analyze, you know, what each person is wearing. But then at the same time, like, you know, you were saying when we were discussing earlier, we don't want to detract from, you know, their actual politics. We don't want to only focus on their clothing because that kind of strips them of their power. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you know, we could say like, well, we would, you know, maybe we would do the same thing for the men, but then it's like, well, where is the portrait of the men in Congress?
Right.
Which I don't know if that's something, it could already exist. It could be something that we don't need a reminder of. But regardless, it, you know, it would be interesting to analyze the tie colors.
Yeah. I think Vanessa Friedman ends by saying, and this is a quote, "The more we recognize the role clothes play in life and politics, the more we are all willing to talk about it, the more we normalize it, the less potential it has as a weapon in any situation." And I just think that's such a powerful idea of thinking about clothing as a weapon, because it is, like, so true. And, yeah, if we, like, reframe the way we talk about this, then, like, clothing will have less power, because it is super powerful. And that's why it's so difficult, because then who has the money to afford the type of power or the type of clothing they want, and, you know, what clothing is viewed as powerful. Like, most of the time it's a suit. And that's one of the great things about these portraits, is you see lots of, you know, different objects being associated with power, like a hat, for example, and jewelry. Mm-hmm. Also, I appreciated how you used the word stripped.
Yeah, but
so funny.
But yeah, about what you were saying with power, it is really interesting to think about clothing not only as giving power, mm-hmm. but also something that's often used to take away power. In the sense that either you dress a certain way and people can use your dressing against you.
Right.
There is a woman on this list, Frederica Wilson, and I'm not, you know, I don't know her politics, so I'm not sure if I really should be, you know, discussing her just in the context of her clothing, but she's known for her hats. She wears these fantastic cowboy hats, and she has apparently several hundred of them. She's been wearing them her whole life.
That's crazy.
It's right.
Does she keep her hat?
I don't know. That's something I would love to know. I feel like that would help me store my own stuff.
Yeah.
But yes, these hats have often been used as kind of a weapon against her, in the sense that, you know, people mm-hmm. will say, oh, she's just like a fool in a cowboy's hat or something like that, which is interesting vernacular, that it is a cowboy's hat. It is associated with men of a certain type, and yet the one that she's wearing in this one is, in her portrait for the Times, is, you know, green and bejeweled and bedazzled. So there's just a lot to unpack in the way that about the way that we discuss clothing, discuss clothing on people in power. And I do think that it's something that we should talk about across the board. We do, I think, discuss women's clothing in power more, or maybe to equal amounts, but it gets more press, you know, mm-hmm. it gets more clicks, perhaps because it's on a woman, or because there's more space to play around with.
Yeah, like more range of color and print. Yeah,
and cut, accessories. Yeah. It's just, which is, you know, that's like a societal problem. You know, like if I had a male president who wore jewelry and we could like discuss his earrings, like that would be awesome.
Yeah.
But that would be like also, you know, right now it's hard to imagine that happening mm-hmm. because it just seems so contrary to what we're used to, what we're used to seeing on a man in power, mm-hmm. which, you know.
So I feel like that's why all of this just calls for more, like, innovation and more of an expansion of what constitutes power dressing. And that's why I so loved these portraits, because it's such a celebration of of these people in power who are really like owning who they are and like what they're bringing to the table that was lacking before they got there, which I think is so, sorry to use the word powerful again, but and also just so exciting.
Yeah, it's necessary to use the word powerful again. I also just noticed, you know, something that I really appreciate is the facial expressions.
Yeah.
So many of them are, you know, what we would interpret as serious facial expressions. Like, there's no real teeth that I'm seeing in terms of, like, a teethy smile. There's a lot of kind of, like, this, like, power stance, you know, like something that implies mm-hmm. like kind of like I mean business. But
yeah, it's really interesting too because the level of formality mm-hmm. varies. You know, some people are wearing, you know, like more rolled up sleeves, more t-shirt type materials. Yeah.
Yeah. And the color choice, I think, is also really interesting. Obviously, the ones that stand out to me the most are the ones that are wearing the brightest colors. And that, you know, is something that we can tie back into with Nancy Pelosi's, mm-hmm. quote, hot pink dress. Because one of the points that Vanessa Friedman made was that she maybe wanted to stand out in this crowd of men in dark suits, mm-hmm. and achieved that in her bright colors.
It's interesting because for her portrait, she's wearing more of like a concrete color, mm. with kind of like a sculptural collar, but otherwise fairly like simplistic cut. I'm curious if you were, you know, newly elected to Congress in this exciting year, what would you wear for a portrait like this?
I think that I would probably fall in line with what a lot of these women are wearing. I think yeah. that I would probably wear a suit jacket. I like the structure it gives me. And I like the association, the associative thinking that comes with it. I do feel more professional when I'm wearing a jacket and some sort of blouse. And I'd probably either wear pants or a skirt. And that's a, you know, probably a big difference, but I'm not really sure which I would wear.
Yeah.
Historically, you know, like when I was in high school, I always had to wear a blazer with a skirt and a collared shirt. So a part of me feels like that's not my most professional look just because I think of high school. But
oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think I don't feel like a grown-up when I'm wearing those clothes. I feel more like my teenage self. But maybe that's just the clothes that I'm choosing. You know, maybe if I was wearing something that, you know, fit me right and made me feel powerful, then I would wear the skirt. But I like the freedom of pants and the flexibility mm-hmm. of pants, and the significance of wearing basically a man's suit mm-hmm. as a woman.
And do you feel powerful in a print?
In a print? It depends on the print. I would say generally yes, although in terms of like, I think my safest bet is always going to be like a white collared shirt. But then again, yeah. I'm always sweating, so I should probably...
That's what the jacket's for.
Yeah, that's what the jacket's for. I think for this sort of thing, maybe I would, in an ideal world, now mm-hmm. that I'm really thinking about it, maybe I would wear a printed suit, like a striped suit, like a thinly striped suit jacket, matching pants, and then a normal shirt. Mm. What about you?
I don't know. I like how lots of the, basically every single portrait is like playing with some idea, like pushing some sort of boundary. So I really like that idea because it's so emblematic of like what they're doing right now. So I feel like it would be cool to wear like a more casual material pant, like almost like a linen or a denim.
Oh, nice.
Because also you can't really see that in the portrait. Unless my portrait is me standing up. But it probably wouldn't be because posing standing up like with a chair or whatever seems hard. Never done it before. Kristen Sinema does it really.
Yeah, really. She's rocking
really
it.
Incredibly.
Yeah.
Then I really like navy. And I like navy too because of its like subtle Americana. Mm. You know what I mean? Because then you also have to think of, like, and maybe you don't have to think of America. I don't know.
I think you
I probably actually wouldn't be thinking of America while I did this. Yeah, and I like white as well. So maybe I'd go, like, maybe I'd try to, like, play off of, like, red, white, and blue. I definitely wear, like, earrings.
I think, to a certain degree, like, jewelry makes me feel a little more complete and, like, put together. As does makeup, which is a whole nother
It is really episode. Hard to say, though, like, how much of, like, because if you and I were both getting ready and we're thinking about, like, makeup and jewelry, it's hard to say how much of this is, like, what makes us feel powerful and what has been, like, ingrained into us. I feel like that's not all the right usage of the word ingrained. I think but, it like, is. That's why I think this how article is so interesting. And, like, the issues it's raised for us. Because it's true that on Stripped, we do mostly talk about...
female.
Like, women and, like, femme-identifying people. So maybe we could make an effort to, like, talk more about...
Yeah, men's clothing.
One time we did mention a photograph of Trump and...
Oh, yeah.
Melania.
Yeah.
But we talked about their backs and the silhouette they were forming, which seems like so almost there.
That's definitely why it's something we can grow on as a podcast.
Melania Trump is, like, she, you know, she comes from the fashion industry, which is interesting because she should, her relationship to clothing as a tool or as an interest is, like, arguably very different from... lots of these women, and just the fact that presenting herself was basically her one of her professions, like, means that she would have such an, you would, like, think maybe more nuanced relationship with clothing. But she was one who has worn, you know, like, ill-timed, whatever, poorly timed stilettos, and she wore that jacket that said, like, I don't care on the back, or something like that. And, you know, like, their argument has always kind of been, like, it's just clothing. It's just, it's fashion. As if, like, fashion doesn't exist in, like, time when it totally does. So it's just so interesting because some people who you'd think would take advantage of fashion as this tool and even weapon... as Vanessa Friedman says, like, sometimes don't.
And the sense of Melania Trump.
Yeah.
I almost think that it could, like, she could be. Yeah. And our, you know, vision or expectation of what it means for her to be, like, taking advantage of fashion or, like, using fashion as a tool is just different. Like, you know, she was kind of using fashion as a tool with that jacket, with, I don't, you know, saying that she doesn't care, and with the stilettos, like, that is her work wardrobe. Like, that's how
that's
maybe so she feels powerful. And, you know, maybe she was saying something about being able to navigate situations in which you shouldn't be wearing stilettos while wearing stilettos, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know, though. It is interesting. Every, you know, but it, you know, it just all goes toward, like, you know, everything that we put on our bodies could be used to make some sort of point and could always be read into, and perhaps is always being read into.
Yeah. It's funny because you're wearing, like, a gray monochrome outfit, and I'm wearing, like, head-to-toe beige. We're talking about, like, how, like
what colors pop. Is important.
What message am I sending into the world today? But I also was thinking of, I read this article about glitter. Did I already talk about this?
I don't know.
I read this article about glitter and how to get glitter, you have to, like, first make large glitter, and then glitter makes more glitter, and then, like, why does everyone love glitter? And it's because, like, biologically, this is also a New York Times article, we should expand our sources also, biologically, we're, like, programmed to flock to glitter, like, as a survival, because I feel like that makes sense, because if you're thinking about, if you're, like, in the jungle trying to survive, like, water is sparkly. Mm. Fruit is like glints in the sun.
Moist. It's got dewdrops on it.
And so, like, and also, it's like attractive. So we're attracted to people with glitter. And I was like, oh, well, duh. Like, my answer to all of my life problems is going to be glitter.
Yeah.
And so
just got a sparkle.
I was thinking, like, why am I wearing beige? I should be wearing glitter. What would I wear to my congressional portrait?
Glitter.
I think I'd wear glitter. Actually, yeah, I would totally wear glitter.
I would put
Although it doesn't photograph well. So that's the other thing. You have to think about what photographs well. You can't just wear, like, any old structural top.
Yeah.
You have to think about, like, what's going to photograph well. What's going to catch weirdly in the light.
Yeah.
This was such a huge project. I can't even, like, to photograph
all of those
portraits.
All of the time that went into it. All of the scheduling that had to happen.
Yeah, the logistics.
Yeah.
Not everyone's cut out for that.
I know. After the fashion issue, it's like, woo.
Yeah.
We can't handle logistics. Some models. Yeah. Alrighty. Shall we?
Yeah. Oh, am I doing the outro?
Do you want to do that?
It's my favorite part. Not that I like saying goodbye, but. Okay, follow us on Twitter at GTown Voice and at HalftimeGU. You can also find us on GeorgetownVoice.com and on iTunes if you subscribe to, quote, The Voice Podcast Network, end quote. And as always, thanks to Ben Sound for the always
rockin' tunes.
Music.
And scenes.